Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're gonna drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Work online, we order food online, we tell people when we are sleeping online, in Skype mood messages, we get jobs online, LinkedIn, we invite friends to parties online on Facebook, and we meet interesting people who can turn into friends online on Twitter. So why are some of us still hesitant to start meeting people on dating websites? Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you have profiles on Match, eHarmony, JDate, and OkCupid, but I know a fair share of you think online dating is cheap or you don't need it and that it is somehow kills the romance. Well, allow me to welcome to the bomb shelter my friend and former workout partner, Erica Jackson, the founder of Chaste, an exclusive matchmaking service that caters to single professionals and entrepreneurs in their 30s to mid 50s who desire a long-term committed relationship or marriage. They not only connect single professionals seeking long-term relationships with like-minded, high-quality individuals seeking the same, but also have an extended team of experts to help members put their best foot forward on their dates and in life. Chaste offers a variety of lifestyle services, which include date and relationship services. I'd like to welcome to the Bomb Studio my friend Erica Jackson. What's up, Erica?
Hi, Lamar.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
So I finally got you in the Bomb Shelter. First of all, congratulations on all of your success. I'm going to take you way, way, way back. We used to work out in the gym, and when you came to me with this idea, you were talking about it. I don't even know how we got into that this particular conversation. Maybe you knew I was an entrepreneur, or maybe it looked like I needed to be on a date. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, we ain't gonna talk about the old thing that you did, but it was very similar to this. But I do want to congratulate you on the success of what you're doing with Chaste.
Thank you.
So we're here to talk about online dating. We're here to talk about relationships. We're here to talk about the people that you have met, some of the people that have come to some of the parties that you've been hosting. I also know you've done some international matchmaking stuff. You've gone outside the country and you got a chance to observe what other people are doing. So let's start with you. Why did Erica Jackson, this Southern girl from a down in Georgia, feel the need to create a dating website?
Well, let me just go back a little bit. I know you said you didn't want to go back that far, but just giving you a little bit of backstory. So back in 2015, had a really good friend. We're going on a road trip to New York. Long story short, she was, we all are dating or whatnot, but she was a serial dater, I would say. I
mean, serial dater? What
serial
is that?
Serial dater.
I've heard of serial killer, but what is a serial dater?
Right, right. Hey, she was close to it. But I have to say, literally, she was doing the online dating thing. She would have a date every night of the week, sometimes twice in a week. Like in one day. And so what I realized was she was just complaining about all the people she was meeting. She was getting catfished, the bait and switch, whatever you want to call it. So though she was putting in the time meeting all these folks, she wasn't meeting anybody that she could build a relationship. So when we were riding, I was trying to figure out a way, how would she be able to meet, or just anybody, just my friends, my family, you know, people that I know, how could they meet somebody, you know, that they can vet so they don't have to go through the online dating thing. So I started spinning my wheels, and long story short, I decided to start hosting these singles events in Baltimore. And I hosted those for a while, probably for about 2 years. But what I realized, people would come out, they have a good time, we have a DJ and all these other things. But at the end of the night, people are hoping that they meet someone special, at least somebody they can go on a date with. And ultimately, that wasn't happening at the singles event. So I was having a conversation with one of my friends. He happens to be Indian. And he said, well, have you ever thought about matchmaking? And I was like, matchmaking? And he was like, yeah, you know, in my culture, that's what we do. You know, when it's time to get married, the family comes around and they're like, hey, we're going to the matchmaker. They go to the matchmaker, tell the matchmaker all the things that they want.
Now, you know, I grew up in Chicago. The matchmaker is when you would play hide and seek. Oh, and the matchmaker, the person that put you in the circle. Did you all do that down south? The matchmaker, they say uno. They would go back and forth, one, two, three, four. That's what we call it, the matchmaker in Chicago. Maybe it's a Chicago thing. And I got some Indian friends, too. But okay. This is a different type of matchmaker.
This is a different type of matchmaking, yeah.
Okay, so he's schooling you on the matchmaking culturally.
Right. Exactly. So he said, you know, whenever it's time for him to get married or whatever, basically the family comes together, they go to a matchmaker, they tell the matchmaker all the qualities that they want.
So what's the background of this matchmaker? Like, what's the matchmaker's... Now I'm intrigued by the matchmaker. Like, what did he say about this? Is it a male? Is it a female? What's the background? They have a resume? Well, are they married? What's up with them?
Well, just the background on it, I would say probably majority of the matchmakers are women, but there are some male matchmakers. There are some male matchmakers, just not a whole lot.
So you pay a fee to go hook up with a matchmaker in India and then in hopes that they connect you with somebody.
Right. I mean, they have actually Indian matchmakers in the United States, so they have matchmakers all over the world, actually.
So he introduced this concept to you. You were already mulling your mind about looking at your partner and how she was having these dating issues. Exactly. You meet this guy, and then what else?
Yeah, so I meet this guy. He tells me about this matchmaking thing, and I'm like, okay, let me do a little research. So I did research, and I was like, you know what? This is it. It's it, because I'm basically like a recruiter for them. They tell me exactly what they're looking for. I go out and find those people and introduce them. Wow. Point blank, period. It's just... I mean, it's so much better than doing singles events, because at singles events, people purchase a ticket. There might be a central theme. It might be age, you know, religion or something like that, but it's not vetted. And people really hope that they meet someone. So at the end of the night, though they had a good time, they're in their feelings. They're a little hurt about that.
Because they didn't meet anybody.
Right, wow. Right. So matchmaking is just more customized. You get to, you know, handpick people that are compatible with... you know, what you're looking for.
So what is the average person looking for? What are you seeing out there the most?
So the funny thing is, a lot of time people really don't know what they're looking for. They said they're looking for somebody, but some of the things they're looking for, you know, somebody, you know, tall, somebody cute, somebody slender. Those qualities don't translate.
She's describing me right now, minus the tall part. Keep going. For those that don't know what I look like.
Right. But those things don't translate into quality relationships, you know. So one, I have a questionnaire that I have them fill out so I can break down exactly what they're looking for. Some questions that they probably haven't even asked.
Like, let's throw out a couple of questions.
One is, you know, do you like smoking? So that's a deal breaker.
Smoking what?
No, smoking. Well, hey.
Any type of smoking now. Okay.
Smoking, cigarettes, marijuana for some folks, cigars or whatever. You know, some of these things are like deal breakers. So I ask questions that are based on deal breakers. I ask them what their values are, you know, what their religious beliefs are. Because I try to connect people based off, you know, shared interest, which really not so much is a key indicator of a great relationship. Because technically, you could love, I'm just going to throw football out there, and she doesn't love football, but it really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, you can go with your friends, she can do something with her friends, but you also can do some things together, but that's not really a deal.
So what have you learned, what has Erica Jackson learned about relationships? And then, you know, of course, we got to talk about, are you in a relationship? Let's go to the first part, okay? What have you learned about relationships, and or what have you learned about people in general?
Okay, what I learned about relationships is that it really all boils down to you, working on your personal development. That's like the most priceless thing that you can invest in is yourself. And a lot of people overlook that, unfortunately. And then understanding what you want out of a relationship is also. So, you know, if religion isn't very important to you, you probably want to find somebody who shares those values.
So my matchmaker who's sitting across from me, you know, had a conversation about an Indian matchmaker. You evaluated your partner that you used to hang out with, that you created the original company with. So are you in a relationship?
I'm currently not in a relationship. But I have to say this, you know, everybody has different priorities in life. And sometimes it's being in a relationship and sometimes it's not. So it just kind of depends. Right now, it's not really high on my priority.
So do you think people see that as a conflict, that this woman who's running Chase, this amazing matchmaking program or agency, that you are not, you haven't been matched? Because I'm sure you're being chased by somebody, but you haven't matched up.
You know what? It's kind of like a two-edged sword, I would say. Because if you are in a relationship or you're married, there, you know, people will say, well, how can you relate to someone single? And then if you're single, they're saying, well, how can you match me? You're not in a relationship yourself. Well, both of those are actually irrelevant. So, for example, if you had some type of ailment and you went to a doctor, would you act like, doctor, does he have that ailment? Probably not. You're going to trust that he's been trained and certified, as I have. Okay,
yes.
I have to put that on there. You're going to trust him that he's able to help you because he's an expert in that area. And that's basically what I tell people.
So how you say you've been trained and certified. What does that training and certification look like?
Yes.
What is that process like?
Okay, so I was trained and certified by the Matchmaker Academy. My mentor is Caroline Breeley.
So there's really a matchmaker.
Yes.
Is it the same Indian person that you got hooked up with?
No.
It's a Matchmaker Academy?
Yes, called the Matchmaker Academy.
And where is the Matchmaker Academy?
It's based in London. There are actually two matchmaking trainings that you could get. One is based in New York and one is based in London. I decided to go with the London.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you want to take a trip to London.
Yeah, I love London. I love travel. And, I just like what she was offering. So.
And so what is that process? What is that certification like? Time, commitment?
Yeah, so basically they train you on the business aspects of matchmaking, how to make quality matches, and all of the things that you can think about that will be involved in the matchmaking. And I also get mentorship from her so I can ask questions.
What are some things that you thought you knew before going into this matchmaking academy about matchmaking and or dating and relationships?
You know, to be quite honest, I didn't really know much about matchmaking other than, you know, Patty Stengler on The Millionaire Matchmaker.
Yeah.
So I thought it might be a little bit easier. I don't know. Sometimes you may think that people are just going to flock to your service because you're a matchmaker and you can help them find matches, but it's not like that. It does involve a lot of work. It's very time intensive. And a lot of times people don't realize that's why matchmakers charge so much. Because it's such a customized service and involves a lot of time. Because if it was that easy, most people would already be in a relationship.
Wow. You know? So what would you compare this profession to? If there was a profession that you can sort of lay it side by side, the service that you provide and then also another service. Hmm. Would it be like real estate, shopping for real estate? Would you compare it to real estate? Because again, if someone is looking for a house, would it be selling cars or, you know, purchasing furniture or anything like that? You're really trying to find out the person's connection. Is there anything that you can sort of compare what you do to another person's profession?
Well,
to give us a better idea?
Yeah, so I always like to compare it to like a corporation who hires a recruiter to find special talent for them.
Gotcha.
Right. So a matchmaker is like a recruiter and the client is like the company. So you're basically telling me the type of qualities that you want for this person to work for your service. And I go out and I vet and screen and make sure they're quality so that you can hire them.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever gone through a matchmaking process and the person becomes attracted to you?
That happens
you
on
got
occasion.
Oh, yeah. So she need to share that with me. So
wait.
So you tell me. So I call you up and then I'm like, I'm looking for this person, this nationality, this lives here, speaks this language, this size, height. And you're doing that, and then all of a sudden, there's this attraction between the matchmaker and the client. How does one handle that?
Now, I wouldn't say it was going both ways.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying you feel that way, but somebody feels that way. How do you handle something like that?
Well, I just try to keep it professional, and I basically tell them, you know, this is a professional matchmaking service, and I'm trying to help you. So,
help yourself to somebody else.
Yeah, and so in some nice words.
And some nice words. All right, so what tips do you have for an online dating newbie? What tips?
Okay, online dating newbie is just make sure you have a kick-ass photo. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you can put all the great information on there, you know, wholesome quality, you know, articulate, you know, have a great job, but that really doesn't matter. Well, depending on who you are, people are mostly visual and first impressions matter. And what I've realized is a lot of people have horrible online dating profile. I mean, just
photo. Horrible. Is it the profile or the photo?
I'm sorry, the picture.
The photo. Picture, okay. So they should choose should they go to a photo shoot, pull out their phone, have a real photographer? What do you suggest?
Right. So I recommend a professional photo shoot with a professional photographer.
Oh, this thing is real.
Yes, it's serious. I mean, marriage and a relationship is real. It depends on what you want out of life. So if you're going to be mediocre online, that's probably the quality of a person you're probably going to get. So if you're going to go in, you got to go all the way in. So
the photo, what else?
And not, you don't have to do a professional photographer. You can get a high quality photo on a phone. Just get a friend to take it. Just make sure you don't have anything blurry in there with, you know, several of your friends. You know what I mean?
Because like, you're trying to figure out, like, who am I going after? It's five people. And then you thought it was this particular person, and you show up and it's somebody else.
Right.
I think another tip is have your real photo.
Yes.
Not a photo.
Not only just a real photo, a recent photo.
Oh, it has recent.
To be within a year. I know people, you know, they're 50. They had to be like 20. You put a 20-year-old picture on there. And then some people, you have to really be aware online, right? So one of my friends, she does online dating. She's pretty good at vetting. But it was just one picture. She was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. This guy looks like a model. So what you can do is you can do a Google image search. Ladies, fellas, do a Google image search. This is so key. And you can tell whether or not other images come up because it could be a stock photo. And that's a red alert.
Interesting. Oh, that's some good tips. So since we're talking about more tips for newbies, what are the dangers of online dating?
Dangers of online dating, probably giving too much information too soon.
Like, what's too much information?
I mean, you don't want to give out your address. Okay. You know, your first date, you want the person to come pick you up from your house. That probably wouldn't be the best idea.
So that's any other online, don't put your address out there too soon, even though we can do all this Google stuff. What are some other dangers of online dating?
Some other dangers of online dating, just make sure wherever you're meeting the person is, you know, it's a nice public area. You don't want to meet anywhere where, you know, you don't see any other people. It's just you two. You want to kind of vet and screen to make sure you're comfortable with that person. The other thing is, I would say, is not to chat with the person too much online because you've already invested so much time. The whole purpose of online is to meet face-to-face, is to get offline. And most people spend so much time trying to vet and meet a person and discuss things on there. I don't think.
What are some good messaging and profile tips then? Some other good profile tips?
In addition to a good photo, some good profile tips is to really, I mean, you want to be authentic, be a little different and honest. Maybe, you know, showcase some of your interest and talent. Also, just not, I would say, fibbing about information about yourself. Just be honest.
Did you say fibbing? Who uses fibbing? You mean lying?
Lying.
Stop. Don't lie on your profile. She said fibbing. I'm like,
I'm trying to
who
be
says
gentle right
fibbing?
Here.
Who says fibbing? So I know you have these chaste events and their parties. When people come to your event, what should they expect? Because I haven't gone to your events because, you know, my schedule is crazy. But I love to, you know, we should do something together, broadcast there. I think that'd be really, really cool. So what should people expect when they come to a chaste event?
They should expect to have a good time, to be in a relaxed environment. I always have an icebreaker so you don't have to feel, you know, nervous. You'll get a warm, inviting vibe. We'll have a nice music so you can, you know, relax. I'll introduce you to people. It's just a nice, chill vibe where you can meet some really great, you know, high quality people.
And so have you been successful with some of your matches? Do you have any success stories that you can share with us from anybody?
I do. So I kind of measure success by, and at the end of the day, a matchmaker gets you 50% of the way there. We can't manufacture chemistry or anything like that. So I do measure success by those clients that I've matched who've gone on to date for 6 months. So I do have quite a few who are dating currently, hopefully transitioning into good relationships.
So since you talked about some of the successful ones, you know, what are some relationships from hell that you've seen that you thought was going to work out and just did not work out.
I can't say I haven't seen any relationships from hell, but I can say sometimes, the chemistry's there and they think things are going to work. And sometimes it may be, I'm not going to say a mismatch, but sometimes they just don't mesh too well. So one may be someone says that they're into health and fitness, one person really is the health and fitness, you know what I mean? But as they start dating, they're realizing, well, I haven't seen you work out.
Working out, picking up that Big Mac, lifting those weights, huh?
Right, right.
The Big Mac weight.
Right. So that's why I say just be your authentic self, be genuine and true to who you are. And then you really don't have to, try to change it.
So let's talk entrepreneurship, because we talked about the dating site and we know how popular they are. And we also know how there's a lot of money invested into these sites. But let's talk legal issues real quick, for example. And I don't know this, and maybe my listeners may not be clear. Are you legally bound to anything that might happen between individuals who meet on your site and at your chase parties? Is there any legal ramifications that can affect you at all?
Well, that's one of the reasons why you have attorneys and also contracts, because in the contract, when you come to a Chase event or if you decide to be a member of Chase, there is a contract that you have to sign, which pretty much,
says like, I won't stalk her, I won't put my hands on him,
right?
I won't put gas in his
exactly, so that I'm not
car up.
Yeah,
so
and
that
you
clears
also,
you
right, and you also understand with dating there are some associated risks, So just be aware that when you're dating somebody, they may not be telling the 100% of the truth. Though I'm doing the vetting, there's only so much I can do.
And so do you learn this in this academy that you went to in London?
Yes.
You went all the way to London for the – you just like those – who says that the folks, the British out there are better matchmaking daters than us?
But, the dating dating in London is a little different.
How different
it's very popular in London.
Matchmaking is very popular
in London. I would say international. In the United States, it's just kind of turning the corner. It hasn't been as popular, but it's gaining headway.
So how do you use social media to build your brand, the Chase brand? How do you use social media?
Right. So social media, I'm working on it, on improving my social media, but definitely just, sending out advice and tips and things of that nature and answering any questions people may have is pretty much how I've been using. Also writing, helpful articles that can be beneficial.
So you're doing some writing, sharing articles, some dating tips.
Yes.
Building your brand. Because your goal as an entrepreneur, because you still have another a side job, your goal is to do this full time, right?
Right.
So what is your hope? Where do you expect to see Chase in about 5 years from now? So when we come back and Sound Bombing is in a larger studio, the Bomb Studio grown. We sit down 5 years from now. I'm sitting across from you. What should I be hearing or seeing at Chase that I'm not seeing right now?
Okay. So just to put a disclaimer out there, I do it full time.
Okay. Are you all doing it? Okay.
I do it full time. But the ultimate goal is not just to have it based here in the Maryland area, but to expand to other metropolitan areas. Because my tagline is, it's not just matchmaking, it's a lifestyle. Metropolitan matchmaking, just to be more pointful about it. But yeah, to have it in other areas, DC's next, Atlanta, and other metropolitan areas. So I'll be hiring more matchmakers.
So what's up with the rural matchmaker? You from the country, girl. What's up with, how you going to have a urban metropolitan matchmaker? What about the folks on the farm? We got this new song out, this brother's song at the top of the charts. Singing about country music, well, so we're not going to the rural areas?
I'm not saying anything's wrong with the rural areas. I don't know if they see the value in matchmaking, but they may.
There, yet.
Right.
But there could be a market, because again, as an entrepreneur,
exactly.
You want to look at areas that aren't saturated, right? I mean,
that's true.
You wouldn't go to New York, and I knew you and I talked about the D.C. market and other places. So as an entrepreneur, you want to go to markets that aren't saturated as much.
Right, exactly.
So when you meet a guy or a girl, I know it's 2019, and they approach you and they're attracted to you, and you tell them that you run a matchmaking site, Chase, what are some things that people might say to you?
One, they do a double take because you just don't see matchmakers. The number one thing I probably get is, I've never met an actual matchmaker. So that's one of the things I get. And then people are just so, you know, kind of excited and inquisitive because you don't meet people like that all the time. So they're asking about the process, how it works, you know, success stories, all these questions that you kind of ask.
So do you think folks that approach you on the side of the intimate side, like I'm attracted to you, do you think that there are, do they feel somewhat challenged because of what you do and maybe afraid to approach you?
I think I'm a very genuine, friendly person, so I don't necessarily think they are afraid to approach me. However, if they wanted to, you know, date me, I don't know. You know, I always say someone has to be really confident to date a matchmaker because I interact with single people, you know, both men and women all the time. And I'm also recruiting. So, you know, you have to be confident in yourself and also be trusting to be with a matchmaker.
So matchmaker sitting across from me, I want you to give me 3 deal breakers for you in relationships. Like you, the queen, CEO, matchmaker of Chase. What are the 3 deal breakers? No way it ain't going down if these 3 things are there.
Wow, you're just going to put me on the spot.
Put you on the spot. Somebody going to go to the site, but they want to see you as well. Because again, what are the deal breakers for you?
Okay, my deal breaker would be smoking. Smoking, oh my gosh. I don't know if I should put on my deal. Let me just say smoking. I'm not going to go to the other two.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to stick with the nice and easy one. Not the crusty toes. Not ashy dude. Not the dude got eczema on the back of his neck. Nothing wrong with eczema. But okay. So let's continue with the business aspect of it. So do you find it as a woman, in particular a woman of color, the matchmaking business to be challenging for you to come in? Is there space for people like Erica to come into this? And if so, how are you coming in at a different level?
Yeah, so I think for people of color in general, there's always some challenges. The interesting thing about matchmaking is there are not a lot of matchmakers in the world, period. And the reason why is because it takes so much work. I mean, people probably really don't realize how much work it takes. So, I mean, just me being able to come into the matchmaking space, there's room. Just in the dating industry in general, And I'm going to say maybe 2000, maybe 5 years ago, I don't want to give any specific dates, you really didn't see online dating commercials. Seriously. Now you see them.
You got
all the time.
Singles dating, Christian dating,
Muslims.
Farmers dating. See, I told you that's the area we.
Farmers.
That's the next thing we're going to do. We're going to tap into that. So you're right, it is become a million, right. Probably a billion dollar industry
now. Right. So, I mean, I go to different matchmaking conferences and stuff like that. And, definitely, there is so much potential. Right now, a lot of people are doing online dating. So, you know, the matchmaking area, I'm not saying it's untapped, but it's not as broad as the online dating. But dating in general is a hot area to be in right now. When I first started matchmaking, I didn't realize why matchmakers charge so much until I actually started being a matchmaker. If you don't charge enough, you're not going to make any money because it's so much time invested into finding someone special for that person. It takes a lot of time.
Typically, how much time would you spend on maybe one client?
It varies. So everyone wants something different. And just because, you know, the person tells me that they're looking for this particular person, that person also has to want to be with them. So oftentimes a lot of, you know, my clients don't really realize how many rejections I've taken. So it can take a little bit of time. You know what I mean? So I have to, it's really a numbers game, because if it's that easy, people would have already met the one.
So what special gifts do you think that you have that makes you a pretty good matchmaker?
Oh my gosh. I just love people in general. I'm just a connector. And I think I offer something like a genuineness that people get whenever they meet me, that they feel comfortable sharing certain information and they feel comfortable that I'm able to deliver.
So what is your hope for relationships across the country?
I'm hoping that people are able to find someone that they truly, genuinely are compatible with, that they can, you know, build a life with and have family.
So where do you see couples struggling the most in their relationships?
I would probably say communication.
What does that mean when you say communication?
Communication in the terms
or is it their lack of communication or how we communicate? What is it?
Right. I would think lack of communication. Oftentimes I've realized that people are assuming certain things instead of actually verbalizing what they're feeling. And sometimes when you verbalize, you have to deliver the message in a meaningful way so that the person can be receptive. And I realized that a lot of people aren't really effectively communicating. As a matter of fact, they're not communicating at all.
When a person logs onto your site, walk us through that process. So I go online, chased.com, and what do I do next?
So it's ilovethechase.com, and just the...
So let me go back. So I go online to ilovethechase.com, your website, and what do I go next?
Okay. So when you go to my website, and just to make a disclaimer, it's not online dating. It's just the website where you can enter your information. We'll have a consultation. But when you go to the website, you'll basically click on Get Started, and there is a... either a contact form where you can reach out to me on that, or you can complete a quick survey. Well, it may take you a little bit of time, depending on how thoughtful you want to be about answering the question. Once you submit that, I'll reach out to you and schedule a one-on-one consultation so that I can find out more about what you're looking for and see how.
Okay. What's the greatest lesson you learned from starting a new business?
Greatest lesson that I've learned from starting a new business is to be consistent. And always show up, because a lot of times people stop when it gets a little bit challenging. But if you continue to show up and to be consistent and to give your heart and your best every single day, you will start making traction.
And so what are some the personal tools that you use when you do get discouraged from the business and it's just not going the way you want to go? What are some personal tools that you use? Strategies, books, readings, or what have you?
Okay, so number one, I always surround myself with people who are supportive. I don't have anybody in my circle who's not supportive, number one. So I can always, you know, talk to a friend or someone in my family. Which plus, I also read. I can't even tell you how much I read. I read like every day. Either it's audiobooks, and I only read things that are for personal development or something related. So I'm always reading.
What book are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading Traction. And I have to say, the book is life changing for businesses. Oh my gosh.
You remember the author?
Oh my gosh, I can't think of the author at the moment.
You like me, I always know, right. Always know titles of books, but I cannot remember the author. But tell us about it.
Yeah, but Traction basically gives you, a lot of times when you're reading books related to businesses or how to start a business, it's very general. It doesn't give you specific advice that you can actually use and implement. Traction has that, from how to set up a system to make your business run without you so that it's sellable.
Is it Traction, How Any Startup Can Achieve Explosiveness by Gino Wickman?
I think that's it.
And what lessons have you learned?
Right. I wish I would have had this when I first started my business, right? Because it's really about how can you duplicate the process when you're not the common denominator? Meaning, how can you automate the process so you don't have to be there being the everything? So it teaches you how to do your documentation, how to hire different people for your business, and just how to implement it so that you're not the common denominator and you can scale. Because you can't scale if you're the only one doing it. Because if something happens to you, then you have no business.
So how can our listeners get in contact with you, Ms. Jackson?
So they have two ways that they can reach me. You can go to ilovethechase.com. That's www.ilovethechase.com. You can also email me at ericaj@ilovethechase.com. That's Erica, ericaj@ilovethechase.com.
Well, we're going to end on that note. I'd like to thank my producer, Michael Harrison, and Supremacy for our theme music, and all of you for listening. And as always, believe that something wonderful is about to happen, and that some people miss the message because they're too busy looking for the mess. Thanks for tuning in, and do something for someone other than yourself today. I want to thank my special guest, Erica Jackson, the matchmaker at Chased. Thank you. Peace.